chapter 1, First Corinthians, chapter 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. Because of its familiarity, we're going to reduce our reading down to just three verses and limit our reading to those three. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, 18, and 19. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. We want to preach a message we've entitled, according to those three words that we find in verse number 18, them that perish. Them that perish. We find in this passage of Scripture, as we look at the extended reading of it, if we did, that the Lord spoke of the Jews, He spoke of the Greeks, spoke of what the Jews were looking for, spoke about what the Greeks were looking for. But in this 18th verse, He's speaking more generally. He's not speaking specifically about the Jews. He's not speaking specifically about the Greeks. But He's speaking generally. And when He talks about those that perish, He's talking about the lost. Not just the Jewish lost, not just the Greek lost, not just this individual lost group, but all the lost. Those that are without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, those that have never repented of their sins, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul, they're perishing. And Paul references them in that 18th verse. He's speaking about them that perish. That is supported, seemingly always refer to chapter 2 when I consider this passage. But in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 14, but the natural man, fleshly man, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. There's that phrase again. The natural man receives not the things of God. To the natural man, the things of God are foolishness. They're foolishness unto him. So when he speaks about those that perish, and he speaks about things that are foolish to those that perish, he's speaking about the lost in general. This room that we're seated in and gathered together in this morning is full of those that are perishing. Our social gospel, our material gospel, our easy believism, by and large across our nation, has softened the message. But irregardless of the world's attempt and Satan's attempt to soften the message, God's word still says to us, all have sinned. All come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We fret about telling sinners they're perishing, but when we tell a lost sinner that they're perishing, We're not the ones telling them. God is. The Word of God is. And we have all around us in this service, we have all around us every day of our life as we journey through this world, people who are perishing, people who are lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, people who have never been born again, people who have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. In John chapter 3, verse number 18, we won't turn to these passages. John 3:18 says, "Those that believe not are condemned." Are condemned already. In John 3, again in verse number 36, speaking about those who have not believed, those that are in this group we're looking at in this passage of Scripture this morning, they, because of their unbelief, shall not see life. Shall not see life. In Mark's version of the commission, where God's people are told to go and preach, those that believe not, Mark 16, verse 16 says, they're damned. They're damned. So those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, no matter how religious they may be, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, are perishing. People who go to church but have never repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, though they go to church, they're perishing. People, though they have been born and raised in what used to be called a Christian nation, without Christ, they're perishing. And we need to stop soft-soaking the message, stop concerning ourselves with offending, preach the Word of God as we find the Word of God, and let sinners know that they are the ones that are perishing. If you're here and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, no matter how resistant you are to it, that is your greatest need. It's your greatest need, because without Jesus Christ, you're perishing. You're perishing. Those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ are those that are in this group, them that perish, them that are condemned, them that will not see life, them that are damned. And the perishing and the condemnation and the not seeing life and the damnation that we speak about is not something that is going to happen. It's a state that a lost sinner is already in. Those that have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are condemned already. They're not going to be condemned. They're already condemned. Something must be changed. Something must be done to change that state of condemnation. You don't need to do anything if you want to remain condemned. Those that perish see the things of God as foolishness. We have all around us those that are perishing. Whether we want to admit it or not, we have those around us who see the things we're speaking about this morning as foolishness. Those that are perishing are dead spiritually. The natural man receives not, we've already seen, the natural man receives not the things of God. They're foreign to him. To those that are perishing, it's humorous, it's funny to talk about sin. Sin, sin, sin. What's the big deal? Those that are perishing can't see what the big deal is. Those that are perishing, whether it be a Jew or a Greek or anybody from any other walk of life, any nation in the world, or anywhere in our society thinks it's foolish to hear that there's none righteous. Most believe themselves pretty good. Most consider themselves, oh, I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as some. They think it's foolish when a preacher preaches about there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seek after God. There is no righteousness in the sinner without Jesus Christ entering the sinner. It's foolishness to those that are perished to think about sin, to think about not having any righteousness, or hearing that whatever righteousness you want to identify in them is described as filthy rags. Filthy, putrefying rags. I think the symbolism of that passage of Scripture are rags and wrappings that were used around those who had leprosy. Those wounds would weep and the body parts would decay and fall off and they would be wrapped. And you take those filthy rags that the leper was dealt with and they'd have to be burned. They were putrefying, they were sickening, they were filthy rags. Those that are perishing thinks it's foolish to be told their goodness is as filthy rags. They don't understand that when we talk about their goodness or righteousness, we're talking about comparing these things to God. In all of our righteousness, all of our good deeds, all of our religion, and all of our practices are as filthy rags when we compare them to the holiness and righteousness of God. Those that perish think it's foolish that salvation would require a sacrifice. They think it's foolish to believe that in order for them to be saved, they've got to believe in the suffering sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ. There's got to be a better way. Got to be a more sensible way, but there isn't a better way. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. But it's foolishness to them that perish to believe that the only way they can go to heaven is for somebody to die for them. But that's the only way anybody can go to heaven, is that somebody died for them. And the only one that could do that is Jesus Christ. It's foolishness to them that perish to talk about the blood, the goriness of Calvary, the brutality that Christ suffered and experienced. Surely there's a more acceptable way, but surely there's a different way I can get there without all this blood. But the Old Testament is filled with blood. From Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, God sacrificed those animals, shed their blood to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. And he shed innocent blood, as we would say, to cover their sins. And that set in motion a constant shedding of blood, a constant sacrificing of the innocent for sinners. And all of this that the Old Testament is full of concerning the shedding of blood was looking forward to the coming of Christ and his shedding of innocent blood. It was all about his shedding. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews tells us there is no remission of sin. So those that are perishing, those that are condemned, those that will not see life, them that are damned, look at the message of the cross. Look at the gospel as foolishness. Foolishness. But in verse 18, the second part of the verse, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved, we're talking about a different group now, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to those that are saved, what is the preaching of the cross? It's the power of God unto salvation. And the difference in those two are the one that is perishing and who sees these things as foolishness have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is saved and sees the preaching of the cross, the message of Christ, the gospel, as the power of God, they have believed. There is absolutely, positively no exception to those rules. If you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the saving of your soul, you're perishing. The only way anybody that's saved here can claim to be saved is because they believe Jesus Christ died for them, shed his blood. Down in verse number 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. To those that are perishing, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. And to those that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not foolishness, but they see the gospel and they see the preaching of Christ. They see the preaching of the cross. They see it as the power of God unto salvation. Down in verse 23 and 24, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. So here they're separated by these nationalities, the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks looked for a sign. The Jews looked for a sign, the Greeks looked for wisdom, some kind of special knowledge that they would come to of themselves. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews or Greeks, it doesn't matter which group they fall into, all the perishing have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and see the preaching of Christ as foolishness, but all of the Jews and the Gentiles that are saved have seen and heard the preaching of the cross and they see it as the power of God unto salvation. Power of God unto salvation. So we see them that perish are those that have not believed. If you're here and you're perishing, I always am caused to pause and be careful of what I say in this regards. Because of the deadness of one without Christ, the lost are dead in their trespasses and sins, and the dead can't do anything. That's a statement that should really stick in your mind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. That means those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ are dead in their trespasses and sins, and they can't do anything. That offends man's pride. That's another reason why the preaching of the cross is foolishness. You mean I'm dead? You mean I can't do anything to save myself? You mean I can't do anything that's acceptable to God? That's exactly what the Bible says. That's exactly what the Bible says. But to the lost, they're perishing. To the saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Lost because they have not believed. Saved because they have believed. And that's only by the grace of God. The grace of God that makes a difference. But unto them which are called, I believe you find reference there to the effectual call, the working of God. Rather a Jew or a Greek, those that are called see the preaching of Christ as the power of God and the wisdom of God. So them that are perishing, that describes you this morning, you need to believe. You need to believe. What do you need to believe? According to our text, verse number 17, you need to believe the gospel. The message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. Don't believe me. Don't believe anything I have to say. Don't believe anything this church has to say. Believe what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God has to say, without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are already condemned and you are perishing. What you must, by the grace of God, do in order to see yourself as a called one, understand that the gospel is the power of God, is believe the gospel. Verse 18 puts it in a different light. It's called the gospel in verse number 17. It's called the preaching of the cross. Same message. There's only one gospel. Though you can go out into the world and you can find many gospels, many varieties of gospels, Paul in some of his epistles warned about other gospels. Don't be deceived. You can go out of this church door today and you can go out and you can find this one, you can find that one, and it'll tell you something different. But I'm telling you what the Word of God has to say. Those that have not believed the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection for them and in their place, you're perishing. You're perishing. The world may tell you, you've just got a little problem. The world will tell you in their gospel, you can improve yourself. The world will tell you in their gospel, do this and do that. There's nothing that can be done other than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. It's the gospel message. It's the preaching of the gospel. Not with any of the wisdom of the words of the world added to it. Not with anything added to the cross of Christ. You add anything to the cross of Christ, and you have defiled it, and you've made it ineffectual. And it is not the power of God unto salvation when it's polluted and adulterated. But to those that hear and believe the gospel message, unadulterated and unaltered, it is the power of God unto salvation. So you must believe the gospel. You must believe in the preaching of the cross. You must believe in the preaching of the cross without anything added to it. You must be saved by grace. through faith, through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what you have to believe. But what do you believe with? Do you know the answer to that question? Romans chapter 10 tells us, with the heart man believes unto salvation. You must believe with the heart, not with the head, not with the mind, not with the brain, not with human reasoning. The Bible makes it very plain, and even the teachings of Jesus Christ makes it very plain, that there will be many who will call him Lord, Lord in the end, and his response to them is, depart from me, I don't know who you are. And I think there's going to be many in that group who are going to say, but Lord, didn't we believe in you? Didn't we believe in you? And the answer might be in a halfway kind of a notion, yes, they believed, but they believed with this. Amen. Believing with this doesn't save anyone. Amen. One can hear, as I said Wednesday night, a lie repeated often enough soon becomes accepted fact. Well, same phenomena can happen with hearing the truth. A person can hear the truth. They can hear about Jesus Christ, how he died upon the cross for sinners. They can hear it often enough to where they put the facts together in their brain and they reason out, okay, this means I have to do this, this, and this in order to be saved. And so they do this, this, and this, and they think they believed in Jesus Christ. But you don't believe with the mind or with the brain to the saving of your soul. You believe with the heart. The word heart is used many times in Scripture, so we know where that location is. But it's not necessarily with the organ that is called the heart that one believes. But it's inside. For lack of a better GPS location, we call it the heart. But you must believe not with your brain, put the facts together and think you're okay. There's going to be a lot of people end up lost who put the facts together in their head and did what they thought was necessary, but have never believed deep within their soul Jesus Christ died for them. That kind of faith, that kind of belief does you no good at all. Illustration that always comes to mind is the fact that the demons of hell believe in Jesus Christ. The demons of hell, the demons of Satan, they've got enough sense in their wicked condition to fear and tremble. Speaking of the things of God. We heard about fearing God. The devils and the demons have enough sense to fear God. But they're still the demons and the devils of hell. Their belief, their faith, if that's what you want to call it, doesn't bring about their salvation. Have you received Jesus Christ in your heart of hearts? Have you truly seen yourself a sinner and believed that Jesus Christ died for you? Have you experienced that, and is it real deep inside? Is it more than just a head knowledge, more than just a reasoning? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth with this kind of belief that we're talking about. Whosoever believeth. Everybody can finish that verse, can't they? Everybody here just about. Even some of our younger ones, they know how that verse concludes. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Shall not perish. Them that perish are those who are still lost sinners, who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. Those that perish are those that the Bible speaks of as condemned, those that will not see life, those that are damned. And I'm obligated, and this church is obligated, and everybody here who names the name of Christ is obligated to tell you your true condition. It's not our job, it's not our mission, it's not the mission of any Christian to make you feel good about yourself. But our obligation is to tell you, without Christ, you're perishing. Without Christ, you're not going to be condemned, you're already condemned. Without Christ, you'll not see life. Without Christ, you're damned. You must believe the gospel. You must believe the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. You must believe with the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Are you perishing today? In all honesty, all evaluation, though you may not say it to anybody else, you'd say it to yourself, I'm one of those that's perishing. I've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as saving my soul. I've never seen him as the acceptable sacrifice dying for my sins. I've never believed in him. We say to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No argument you want to throw up. No substitution you want to bring into the picture will replace the reality that without Christ, you're perishing. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36, we quoted it earlier. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This is the will of God in John 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. John 6, verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11, 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus asked a question at the end of John 11, 26, believest thou this? Believest thou this? This theme of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in the gospel message, believing in the message of the preaching of Christ for the salvation of your soul. Repenting and turning, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. John carries throughout his gospel, and he carries it over into his other epistles. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. 1 John 5, 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5, 10. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not on the record that God gave his Son. Romans chapter 9, verse 13, or verse 33. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. 1 Peter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Romans 9, 33. 1 Peter 2, verse 6, are quoting what Jesus had to say in Matthew 21, verse 42, in reference to what Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16 says, what Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14 says, what we can also find referenced in the Psalms. God has laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believes in him shall not be ashamed. You find those references throughout the Old Testament that we referenced, and you find them being fulfilled in the New Testament epistles. And that stone and that rock is Jesus. But whosoever believes shall not be ashamed. Them that perish, the message is foolishness. To them that believe, it is the power of God. Are you perishing, lost, and dying in your sins? Will you believe? Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? That's all we have to offer. That's all we ever have to offer to those that are perishing. We don't have any snake oil. We don't have any magic potions. We don't have any fleshly satisfying ideas. All we have is Jesus Christ. And though you're perishing, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt have everlasting life. Let's stand together. Have a verse of song.